Good evening, Detroit Lakes. This is the Vikings Territory Breakdown on KDLM Sports Radio. I am your host, Joe Johnson, owner of the Oofta Sports Network, which includes VikingsTerritory.com, PurplePTSD.com, TheDraftTeam.com, FranchiseTag.com, and a lot of other great sites. Joined, as always, unless he's bottling maple syrup, by Mr. Joe Oberle. How you doing, man?
I'm good. God, it's just you and me. It's like there's a cavernous echo in here because there's somebody missing.
That's where my soul used to be. If there is a little bit of an echo, I moved actually into an apartment, like a real functioning adult, in downtown Minneapolis, stone's throw away from the Twins Stadium, Target Field. And apparently they keep the lights on full blast all night, which is great for.
There's only one thing you have to for me to know is are there any breweries nearby? It must be Fulton and Mata's.
The Prize.
Oh man.
Yeah,
oh.
They're all like within two blocks of any direction. There, I noticed that.
I'll have to come visit you
on Mother's Day because I got DoorDash from my parents who stopped down, and I was looking at the map because the guy kept driving. He was a block away, and he kept going around in a circle because I'm on First Street North, but across Hennepin is First Street South, which is four blocks away. So people get confused. And I was like, wow, there are a ton of breweries down here. So yeah, man, I think we're going to do a housewarming party. But the reason I bring it up is because of the echo, but also this place is relatively large. So it's going to actually, everyone internally is, and me on social media have referred to it as the Oofta Towers because we're going to be doing a lot of our video and audio stuff from here, so people will get familiarized with what I guess is technically a penthouse apartment.
So when we walk in there, we have to say, Oofta, look at this place.
Huh? Yeah, you are getting ripped off, my friend, is I think the common refrain. But, you know, it's COVID. I got a deal. It's been actually kind of a really interesting week news-wise for the Vikings. You know, there's always this abject fear after the draft and free agency that, oh, no, what are we going to talk about for the next 2.5-3 months?
But oh, thank God for the schedule!
That and apparently all sorts of – you know, can I just say to start this show, I understand that I've been – perhaps the biggest Cousins apologist on record of anybody in the market. I will agree with that. I was the first person to call for the Vikings to go all in to get him. But I will say, for a quarterback who mostly keeps his head down in regards to, you know, his personality and leaking things to the media, kind of the anti-Aaron Rodgers, he gets so much disrespect. I've never seen anything like it.
He keeps his head down because he's weighted down by that massive contract he has. No, I'm just kidding.
And the fact that he gets blasted in where the pocket should be.
I was doing a podcast with some friends recently. I used to work with the Timberwolves. We get together and you know, once a week and throw around all the stuff and just a side.
At the podcast?
Did I say a podcast? Sorry, Zoom call. Different.
Oh, thing. I was gonna say I'm hurt.
No. You're my podcast guy. Anyway, and one of the guys asked me, why does everybody hate Cousins? And, you know, I started trying to articulate it. And I said, well, you know, there's, you know, one guy mentioned the contract, which is an albatross around his neck for sure. But even by today's standards of the people paid after he was, it's not as terrible as it used to be. But it's strangling the It has crippled the Vikings' salary cap. Anyway, I mean, there's the fact I think he wears his religion and his whole manner on his sleeve, and I think that rubs some people. Not that it should. I think he just comes off as this, you know, perfect person. And I think when you put him in the pocket and he gets a little nervous, that makes fans nervous. And I think when he pads his numbers on in garbage time and his.
You know the garbage time stat is not real.
Well, I've just seen him do it a lot of games, so I don't know if there's a stat there or not. But he does get helped by that, probably not so much more than anybody else. But the problem is, it's garbage time because he doesn't win enough games and he hasn't won enough games for the Vikings. I think that's the biggest criticism, because you want your quarterback to be a winner, and he's basically a 500 quarterback as a starter. And you
think
want
that's
a little
on
bit
him though?
Not completely, no, heck no. But there's plenty of it, and you know
he
this
had
is
a pretty amazing season last year after the bye. I mean, and those games weren't on him by any stretch of the imagination.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that.
I know, but some people do say that.
Yes, you do expect your quarterback to win some games you might not be able to, and he probably doesn't do that enough. I'm not, you know, you're a Cousins apologist. I'm not a hater. I'm fine with him. I think when he does well, he does really well, and he's got the skills. I get bothered by the fact that he's not more mobile than he could be. I get bothered by the fact that he does get skittish in the pocket, and perhaps, you know, maybe checks down when he shouldn't, or doesn't get the big play when you need it. But, you know, in general, I look around the league and I think the Vikings are fine with him. But I did want to get after you about your Cousins' love, because I think it's tainting your impression of Kellen Mond, who we haven't even seen in a purple uniform yet. I mean, you seem really down on him, Joe, and I guess I'd like to know why.
Well, first of all, with Cousins, I would say, like, he is a lot more mobile than we all thought he was. Everyone thought he was statuesque. I mean, if you go back to 2019,
yes.
He had to roll out literally almost on every successful passing down in 2019. That having been said, the Vikings have had the most explosive offense in the league the last 2.5 years, or a year and a half. Most plays above 20 yards last season, most plays above 40 the season before that. You know, the Justin Jefferson thing, which we'll get into, I don't understand, because he just had the best rookie receiving year of in history of the modern NFL. Cousins is a top two or three quarterback in terms of accuracy on all three levels of the offense in the league, the history of the entire league. So I don't know what else he has to do. I understand that they don't call a lot of explosive plays, because Zimmer is risk averse. Last year especially wants to run the clock out and have these long plotting drives, because the defense was a liability and he didn't want the quarterbacks from the other team to be on the field. But that having been said, I think Cousins in the last 2 years is like 35 touchdowns and zero interceptions in the red zone. And I'm not saying he's perfect. I'm not
in the last how many years?
2 years.
What about that pass to for Green Bay that he threw in Green Bay, where he had the game won that he should have thrown it away? I guess maybe it was here. You know, it was the last. It was he was down in the red zone and it was first and goal at the 8, and he goes and throws this pass to a covered receiver when all he had to do is throw it out of bounds and
look
the downs. That
yeah,
that was three years ago, right? It could have been three, but that one always sticks in my mind about where I was just said, you know, how can an 8-year veteran make that throw? But
that was a really bad throw.
It was. It's the jitters that gets to him. You know, I don't know what that was, because he was out of the pocket and he was free.
And it was
first
down.
I love it when he's on the run. But anyway,
he's really good in play action, by a large margin.
He's a good quarterback, Joe. He just needs to, just like he had to get over that hump of never winning this or that or this or that, he's got to win some more playoff games and take them further than they have.
I do feel like if Teddy Bridgewater would have won that Saints game the way that game went down in the playoffs, he would have a statue. I mean, the things that people...
Oh, you mean that the Seattle game?
No, the Saints playoff game.
Teddy Bridgewater against the Saints? I don't remember.
No, I'm saying if had he done that.
Oh, I see.
If you just replaced the two.
Yes. I will agree with you wholeheartedly that there is some irrational Cousins hate out there.
My point is that he's perfect, and that he is going to get them over the hump, which I think is a weird metric, because no quarterback we've ever had has gotten us over the hump, clearly. But I just think he gets this consistent disrespect from other players, from his teammates. And I don't understand why. But to get back to you about Kellen, you know, a big rule of thumb that I have for quarterbacks that are coming into the league are, what did they do? How's the best way to put this? If Kellen Mond couldn't do certain things in college, how can we expect him to do them in the pros? Unless he goes through some very weird...
Really?
What?
Is that the measure that we're supposed to measure by? Really? I guess I've never thought about that. I'm going to do that right now.
Let me read you his NFL draft profile and tell me what part of this you think converts to a pro quarterback well with an offense with the best 1-2 punch of wide receivers in the league, and that has been the most explosive offense. Let's see. Here we go. Quarterback with dual threat physical tools who has grown and matured into a role as a confident game manager. The Aggies' offense asked too much of Mond in the past, which led to diminishing returns. However, the 2020 offense featured a strong rushing attack paired with play action, where he not only found greater confidence and rhythm as a passer, but poise and accuracy. He often doesn't get antsy working from the pocket. He throws an okay ball with placement underneath. He has issues with touch and anticipation, which creates erratic completion numbers when asked to throw down the field or outside the numbers, which should concern evaluators. He has some RPO value, but he lacks the consistency to ever become more than a solid backup.
I like the fact that he's confident in the pocket. I don't like the fact that he's not very accurate downfield. You know, you flip those two or give, you know, it's like he's more confident than Cousins, but he's less accurate than Cousins, you know, in what you're saying right there.
Yeah, it's almost like a weird mix of Teddy and Case Keenum mixed together, because Teddy was very chill, almost
yes.
like he was, you know, not – you know, what was, this is a quote from Zimmer, was, I wish he played the first 57 minutes or 58 minutes, like the last two. But the reason we brought Cousins in and that we overpaid and changed the way that contracts were done in the NFL forever was because Case Keenum was mobile, but he couldn't make all the throws on the field. And he often would check down, run to pick up a couple yards, or, you know, check down to the dump off guy when Adam Thielen or, you know, Diggs were wide open down the field. And that's why they replaced him, even though he almost got us to the Super Bowl. And I just
they couldn't give him the whole offense either. He was not playing.
Yeah. I mean, the way Luke Brown used to always break it down to us is he has two options on each play: deep ball, short ball, and he had most of the time with the short ball, or he ran. And so I just feel like all these people crowning, you know, Mond as Patrick Mahomes 2.0, I just don't, you know, I do feel like he can maybe develop his passing game a little bit more, but it reminds me of, like, the Timberwolves when they take, like, a shooting guard who doesn't have a jump shot, but they're like, he'll develop it, but he's good on defense. It's like that never really happens. And
sure,
so,
that's a great point, but it's, you know, it can be said the same way the other way. I agree with you. I don't know why anybody's crowning him yet, because he hasn't played yet. But by the same token, I don't know that you can negate anything, any possibilities yet, because you haven't seen him.
No, but I'm just saying it's a very valid concern to me that if he can't make all the throws, he's erratic, he's, you know, the diminishing returns thing. Also the fact that Zimmer, like, flipped out on DeFilippo about being an RPO offense, and apparently that's what they want now. I think Zimmer wants a confident game manager. I really do. I mean, I think he wants to pay $15 million a year for the quarterback, and he wants that guy to dink and dunk, but it takes an actual underrated amount of efficiency to do that kind of stuff that Cousins did, because you have to score a touchdown on every drive, otherwise you end up like the Bucks game last year, where the time of possession was like triple Vikings to Bucks, but we kept kicking and missing field goals, so they ended up beating us significantly. You know what I mean? I just, you know, unless he's going to run the ball in all the time, but if Jefferson is upset now and he's wide open down the field, I don't think this offense has like 2 years post Cousins to figure stuff out.
I you know, that's kind of a short segue to Jefferson. I read or heard the stuff that he said, and I wouldn't say upset, but the fact that he's questioning it, he's, you know, he's only had 1 year in the league, but he had a monster year, like you said earlier. And, you know, Cousins is the guy that got him the ball. I mean, if you have problems with this offense after putting up 1,400 yards in your rookie season and setting records, there's, you know, only speculation and dreaming is going to get you any more in the near future, because I'm a little bit amazed at what he's saying, and I hope
in a run first offense, by the way.
Right, exactly. And if they can't drill into this guy's head and some of these other ones, you know, which they couldn't do with Diggs, is that a run first offense can open, you know, up plays for you. If you think the game of football is all pass, 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 you're not paying attention. It's been a, you know, that you need both active in this league. And the teams that have, you know, I mean, you can win with an all pass league, but even the Chiefs, who is one of the most dynamic offenses that we've seen in years, still had a decent running game the past couple of years. It's not great, but it's, you know, so what if you're building your line to open up for Dalvin Cook? That just makes all these defenders going to have to, you know, not sell out for the run. And then they have to pay attention. You know, they might get one-on-one coverage with guys like, with Jefferson and Thielen and who's the name of our tight end now?
Irv Smith.
Yes. I mean, that's people you have to pay attention to. You get another third receiver in there and look out. So I get really – now, granted, people are, you know, when they're being interviewed, they're just answering questions. And who knows, you know, if they change their mind the next day. But, you know, no offense to Justin Jefferson. I think he's a great student of the game, but I don't know if he's got it figured out yet. So just slow your roll just a little bit.
And I saw this really – it was like 2 in the morning when I wrote the article. And I was on the fence as to whether or not he was really dragging Cousins, because he basically was saying, like, he reminds me of Burrow, except for Burrow's more confident and he can take a hit. But, you know, they don't have the strongest arm, but they always get the ball, like, they're very accurate and make all the throws accurately. Mm-hmm. It was the comment after that about Justin Fields that made me feel like, okay, this is all – I'm not reading into it too much. He's essentially saying that, you know, Justin Fields is in the division now, and he's an elite quarterback, and now we all have to compete with that now, which implies that Cousins isn't good or as good. Again, Ohio State quarterback, Big Ten, blah, 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 in college.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very big roll of the dice. I would argue the most difficult position to go from college to the pros in all of pro sports, without a doubt. It's not even close. And so, you know, yes, things have changed. I mean, it wasn't that long ago where the rule of thumb was never start a rookie because you can ruin them. And now they expect rookies to win Super Bowls and be MVPs because that's kind of what has happened. And so I get where it comes from, but and I also understand that wide receivers that are really, really good always have, for the most part, this sort of narcissistic trait. Like, it's a reason that they work so hard. They, you know, they're getting double covered. They have to beat the guys in front of them. It's a very me sort of position, but you get tired of it.
But what are the Vikings supposed to do if they don't draft a quarterback this year, and, you know, as early as they did, and try to at least look forward to the future and finally develop somebody that they think can maybe take over for Cousins? They're going to be strapped to a Cousins contract for the next how many years that cripples them. So they have to start doing this.
I agree with you. I don't think they can. I think his contract next year is untenable. I've said that in my articles. I also think that they really should have traded up for Fields then, because that clearly was their guy. They couldn't believe he was available. They were stung and very surprised by what the Bears did.
What did the Bears trade for him?
That actually, let me look that up, because I don't want to misstate it.
Yeah, I know the quote from Zimmer was that, or from Spielman, was that it was too expensive. They did look up at, you know, trading up for him. They did like him, and he was there for them to get, but they were surprised at how much people were looking for them to trade up to grab him.
And so, I said this last week, so I don't want to just disregard that, but I also said that I understand that they couldn't do that, because then they wouldn't have, you know, they would have lost
offensive line.
Yes. Mm-hmm. They couldn't do both, and I understand
That's my point. Yes, that was my point. They're going to look for, you know what, you know, they would have had to give up their first, but they would have got the first.
Well, see, the Bears trade went up 9 spots. The Vikings would have only gone up 3. Mm-hmm. But they traded their first round, their 20th pick, obviously, and the 5th round pick this year, and their first and 4th next year. Yikes. I don't know if the Vikings would have had done that, obviously, that much to go up 3 spots. But if there was a bidding war with the Bears interdivisionally, you know.
And look what they got out of not going jumping up. They got Darisaw and Wyatt, plus a quarterback that could work out.
A project linebacker that has a lot of potential.
Yes. So, I mean, that's you know, when you say they should have traded up for him then you have to balance that with this is what you lose.
Yeah, but I also think in like 5 years, if Fields is just the new Rodgers and is punishing us left and right, we'll probably forget about a lot of that stuff.
No question. However, do you think that's going to happen? You know, Fields is surrounded by a pretty damn good team, you know, and you don't know how much of that is him and how, you know, how he does when he's...
You know, I this is not something I should say aloud as somebody who...
Nobody's
you know.
Listening, so go ahead.
I always have these things where it's like, if I can't envision it, you know, I don't see it happening, you know, and that, I don't mean that literally, like that's how I dictate my takes or anything, but I've just been so used to the Bears being kind of the Vikings mirror in regards to never being able to draft or develop a quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I just can't imagine them having this amazing powerhouse offense with this really, you know, MVP level quarterback, but that's just because I've never seen it. You know, I think of any Ohio State quarterback in the last 15 years or whatever, he's got the best chance to succeed. But you're right. The reason a lot of these guys don't is because the Ohio State is a powerhouse and they have just so much talent. You know, it's like, kind of like LSU.
Yep.
But that seemed to be working out because everyone was just super good, which is why they broke all those records. And so you never know. But I think he does have all the tools, more so than a lot of the guys in the past from Ohio State that were more maybe just mobile. You could just throw it up to wide open guys, whereas, you know, Fields is he's got the arm and everything, I think, that people would want. But, you know, just to put a pin in the Mond thing, I just think that again, people need to remember why they moved on from Case Keenum in the first place. And it was because the offense was limited, and they realized that the under Zimmer, even with the, you know, the spot-by-spot, roster-position-by-roster position on that defense, which was astounding, the Vikings needed a great to elite offense to get over the hump and beat teams, which we thought at the time were like the Eagles. And that's why Cousins is here. And so just pump the brakes on these expectations. You know, it's going to take a while one way or the other. And let's just see what Cousins can do. Maybe with a line that looks on paper to actually be halfway decent for once, which would be nice.
Which would be Mond's line for the future. So he must, you know, he's not going to have to be, I'm just kidding. I'm just
Yeah, just also like RG3, we get it. You're mad that you lost your roster spot to Cousins. Stop trying to get in the news. He's insulted him twice now in like a week. He said Kellen Mond is everything Cousins isn't. He's a big physical quarterback who can run and throw it all over the field. No, he isn't. That's objectively untrue.
He can throw it all over the field. Doesn't mean he's going to complete them.
You know, somebody commented on my article about pumping the brakes on the hype. He goes, why are you bad-mouthing Case Keenum? He hit wide receivers down the field numerous times. And I said, I hope a pro quarterback hits an open guy down the field numerous times. That's kind of an anecdotal way of saying something. Statistically, that's not true, though, across the board. That's the entire point. And just because I'm pointing that out doesn't mean I'm disparaging him. But I do disparage Stefon Diggs from time to time because I just don't like how he conducts himself. And I also don't like if there's anything that I try to be, it's very transparent on my biases and my bad takes, because I don't think there's a lot of accountability in this industry. And I think something that Adam Thielen proved this week, part of this is rivalry. That's the fun of it. It's sort of like, you know, how dare you just happen to be born somewhere else 50 miles that way. You know, it's not real hate. It's just part of the fun. Thielen showed that. I do think Diggs is kind of a jerk, but I make fun of Buffalo, the city of Buffalo sometimes, and it's really just lighthearted stuff. Like, Bill's Mafia makes sense because neither the Bills or the Mafia
I read it. You and me.
I have an acid tongue from time to time, but stuff like Bill's Mafia makes sense because neither the Mafia or the city of Buffalo have been relevant since the early 90s. People commenting in between their full-time jobs, giving people directions to get away from Buffalo. Just really funny jokes. But people take it really seriously.
Of course.
It was on radio stations in Buffalo, apparently. Like, people were like, let's find...
Your story? Your story was?
Yeah, people were like, let's find this guy's Twitter. Let's send this to Diggs because he loves this stuff. And then one guy's like, well, I can't because Diggs blocked me. And I was like, somebody say something about that. I'm not going to hop in here. But, my Twitter is visible like 3 times on the page. So it's kind of funny that they need a detective to figure it out. But it's all I said in the article too. I'm just I love you. I'm just it's, I kid because I love. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
It's,
well, that's you know, kind of specious anyway. I kid because I love, you know, we people say that, but that's just their way to not getting yelled at when they're, when, and then they're saying that with their hand out front and the one behind is stealing your pocket, you know? So,
big time. But the point of that whole article with Diggs is I just wanted to say, A, if you boil down Diggs's argument and what he thinks he was betrayed over, it makes no sense. Like this team, his rookie year, Adrian Peterson had his last good year. This was never an arena football offense. Why would – if Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers can't get notified of personnel decisions, why would they say, hey, you know that receiver that's never cracked 1,000 yards, that's missed 2 or 3 games every single season? Let's make sure that he understands that we're going to draft Dalvin Cook. It's nonsense. And my point with the fans is if you're telling me that Diggs matured – at 27 between the summer of joining the Bills, that first of all implies that he was immature in Minnesota, which lends credence to what I'm saying, A. B, when in the history of humankind is somebody that's been rewarded in every way possible for bad behavior changed that behavior? I said, I can admit that I'm bitter because Diggs was my favorite player, and I don't like how he's handling himself continuously. But all you have to admit is I like Diggs because he's on my team, and he helps my team now, and he's a good football player. He doesn't need to be a perfect human being either. But everyone's saying he's a saint, and he mentors you know young children, and he drove the snakes out of Ireland. And it's just like it doesn't need to be all those things. Let's just admit that. You know,
they're going to put a statue of him downtown Minneapolis for the Minneapolis Miracle, Joe. Come on.
He probably wouldn't like it. You know, it wouldn't be big enough or not enough gold leaf.
I've got to quit reading. You know, the more I read about Diggs, and I got to quit reading your stories on him because the less I like. You know, I didn't know about this most recent, tweak at Minnesota, soda as he called it. And it's interesting that he uses it in a derogatory way this week when it's the week that Kevin Garnett is getting put into the Hall of Fame, and he used soda famously out of love. So I thought
it's
that was
not
kind
a coincidence, or at least it shows the cavern between the two.
Right. And, the more and more I see, I just, you know, I think there's a lot of what you are spot on about him, that it is about Diggs, and it's not about, you know, it's about, you know, he wants to win, but he wants to make sure that he's instrumental in that.
That is literally verbatim the quote from his supporters in that ESPN article. Diggs wants to win, but he wants to be the reason that you win more.
Yeah, so it's kind of sad. Football is not that kind of game, and certainly one receiver in a 3-receiver package is not, you know. Right there, you have 3 receivers. If you just throw the ball to one, it's easy to defend. It's just silly to think like that. And I always bring up the fact how when I was in high school and playing tight end, I was open every play and never, you know, when I didn't get the ball and complained about it. But it's so I understand where that mentality comes from. You don't want to be what do you call it? You don't want to be the guy that runs down there and runs down there and runs down there and runs back and that never gets the ball. I get it. But it, you know, you better start understanding gal darn quick how the game is played if you want to be successful. Like we were just saying earlier, you got to have both. You have to have a running game and a passing game to help each other out. And I'm sorry, you know, Thielen's a good gal darn good receiver, and he came up the same time as Diggs. And you know, you look down the line, and he's every bit as good as you were, and every bit as important to the team as Diggs was. So that's under lack of understanding on his part, and if it continues as you're kind of predicting in your piece that he, you know, wait till they start losing, you know, like they lost in the playoffs this year.
Well, I said this hyperbolically, and I admitted it as much, but I thought there was a little thread of truth that team that has no running back whatsoever did not draft one, did not draft another receiver till the 6th round. They brought in
they got Zach Moss.
Yeah, but I mean, what did he have last year? 500 yards.
Yeah, well, you know, Diggs had about
You know, it's like once that's the betrayal. I just don't understand it. Like, and then the whole Cousins thing. He had 106 catches the first year Cousins was here, which was also the first year he had 1,000 yards. And the reason he got drafted or traded for a first round pick was because of his stats after Cousins got here. So
yeah,
you know,
I don't think it's Cousins as much as it's the way the offense was, the makeup of it in drafting a running back. And I
peeing on my leg and telling me it's rain, and it's like, what are you talking about, dude? They drafted a running back in the second round. I just, Adrian Peterson was here. I don't see how Zimmer suddenly betrayed him when he had a great 700-yard season or whatever. It's just, and so just again another pin. For people that from Minnesota that I was like, why do you cover this? This isn't even about football. And it's like, first of all, yes, it is about football. Second, we do things a little bit differently with, you know, our stuff. Like, I had a meeting yesterday with a gal who's the biggest female Minnesota Vikings fan / brand, does radio and stuff of anybody. And she wants to do stuff like articles on best places to tailgate, and if you're coming in from out of town, here's the best Vikings bars and stuff. And it's like, nobody does. She was like, I was nervous that you wouldn't do that because nobody does stuff like that. And I was like, that's kind of what we're all about. But part of what we comment on is that kind of stuff, not just strictly X's and O's, so on and so forth. I mean, that's, people were dragging AJ Mansoor, who writes for us, because he commented on the Julio Jones quote unquote rumor.
Mm-hmm.
And it came from I saw it, and I didn't write about it because I, the guy that put it out there, I think just clearly made it up, and everyone just kind of put out there. There's a lot of people who just throw a million takes and claim to have sources, and sometimes they're right because they just guess. So I didn't cover it, but AJ did, and the way he covered it was to dispel it because it was out there in the zeitgeist, and people are like, why would you cover such a whatever? And it's like, because that's part of what we do, is filter through some of the stuff, because not everybody's super internet savvy and they see it in Google News and they think, oh my God, Julio Jones.
If it's on TV, it's got to be true. If it's on the,
you know? So yeah, it's part of the fun. But getting back to Adam Thielen and Lambeau, I've never been to Lambeau before. But
I have,
like,
a few times.
Obviously, Lambeau is like the Wrigley Field of the NFL. It has history. It's great. He's just doing his job. He's from Minnesota. He's just—he knows what he's doing.
Well, that's the key that's missing in this thing. The guy grew up a Vikings fan.
Yeah.
All right. And if he's tweaking the Packer fans a little bit, he's having fun with them.
That's what I said in my article.
Yes, and everybody took the comments out of context, which is what happens so often these days. He says, you know, he loves going out there. It's a great place to play. Blah blah blah. And you look up, and I have been in the visiting football locker room of Lambeau Field. I've been in there. I could hardly find someone to talk to. It is trash. It is a terrible locker room. And it's like someone else said, that's what you're supposed to do for the visitors, is give them a bad locker room. You know, I remember Kevin McHale once saying that the locker room in Boston Gardens for the visitors was just terrible. They'd always Red Auerbach would have the heat turned off or something, you know, and just make it miserable for the opposing team.
Can you elaborate a little bit on like what the locker room, like what it looks like? Is it small? Does it like it's leaking
small
pipes?
And it's a I wouldn't go that far, but it's a maze. You go around, you know, like you go to the Vikings locker room at either the Dome or at where they are now, or even at TCF Bank Stadium. They're big open rooms where with the lockers all the way lined down the side of the wall, and all the media can walk in and move around and get to the person they see. When I was in Lambeau, I went down to get I can't remember who I was wanting to talk to, but I went down there and moved around. You're walking on a labyrinth, like a maze of lockers, you know, all cattywampus this way, that way, trying to find somebody. And you have to walk through that entire maze if you're looking for a specific person, because it's not like you can just look in the entire room and say, okay, there he is, and go get your quote. So it's small, it's cramped. It's you're on top. You're tripping over their equipment and their shoulder pads. It's not great. I can imagine any visitor would have the same thoughts.
And especially with new stadiums and how like next level things have become.
Yes, On the other hand, Joe, my first time to Lambeau, I sat up near the top of the stadium, and every seat in that house you can see. It's wonderful. It's a great place to watch a football game. They're all bench seats. That's fine. You know, it's like college. It's like the TCF Bank Stadium when you sit.
I kind of like bench seats, but yeah. I'm also a bigger person, so it's,
exactly.
You bring a cushion, it's fine.
All I care about is the sight lines. You know, so can you see the game? Can you do you have a good view of it at both ends or whatever? And so, and that's what Adam said. I saw a thing where he was talking about it after, and he was just kind of chuckling because he goes, you know, his wife was even busting him saying, "How could you say that? That's the greatest place, you know, a football stadium." And he says, "Yeah, even my wife's going after me." So. So he was having fun, and I thought it was great. And, you know, if people get bent out of shape, well, that's – I guess there's other things in life that we can get bent out of shape up to not worry about that. Take it with a grain of salt. Good on you, Adam. But he just talked about how he got lit up on social media, which was kind of funny.
Yeah, people do take – I mean, I get that a lot. People are like, you take football so seriously, and it's like, well, a lot of it's tongue in cheek. I mean, I fully admit I love football. You know, it's an emotional thing for me. You know, it's everyone, I think, has a different relationship with the Vikings, but like for a lot of us, it's a family bonding thing, a male bonding thing with our family, our stoic Scandinavian, you know, ancestry. And, you know, but at the same time, like, that's the kind of thing that's just like, yeah, he's clearly trying to do this to rile people up. So you're just giving him what he was looking for. Also, if Lambert was so great, then why does Rodgers want out? Talk about a professional segue. That mess doesn't seem to be getting any better.
You know, I had a buddy, a friend of mine from Oregon, who has always been a Packers fan. He called and asked, or sent me a text asking him about it. I said, well, I see most of what you are seeing, but I tell you, like you just said, Joe, it's not moving in the right direction. I fully expect, I said last week, and I still felt that until very recently, that they'll get it worked out. I mean, Wilson's not gone out of Seattle. Watson's,
you know,
not
why
gone
neither
of
them are gone?
Because nobody wants to trade for him, or
because if the Seattle traded Wilson, they'd have to pay $45 million for him to play elsewhere, and for Aaron Rodgers, it'd be $35 million for the Packers. Deshaun Watson, his career is basically over. They think so. That's why it's not going to happen. Otherwise, I honestly do think it would have happened more so with Rodgers than with Russell Wilson.
So I just don't think that the Packers are that dumb to get rid of him, but to let him go somehow. But I also don't see Rodgers not playing. He's got only a few years left, and if his quarterback sits out a year and doesn't keep, you know, granted, I saw something online where he's got TB's, Terry,
he has tuberculosis.
No, he's got Tom Brady's regimen for he's doing some kind of Tom Brady thing.
The diet,
to stay in shape.
Cousins does that too.
Yeah, so I mean, so maybe, you know, maybe he's not going to hurt his career
the blood of small children
by sitting out a year, but, you know, we'll see how well that goes for a person when we see Michael Pierce line up this year. I mean, that's hard for a player to take a whole year off.
Especially if he really wants to, like, make records.
Right, and you're in your mid-40s, so I just don't see it happening. But like I told him, I said, all I care about is I hope the drama continues and it just disrupts this team well into the season. And
how do you have a meeting during the season in that quarterback room? That sounds awful.
Yeah.
Also, I honestly think the solution is the Vikings should trade Kellen Mond for, like, 6 first-round picks because he's the future. Ooh, swing and a miss. I gotta get more sounds on the soundbar because there's a lot of the times when I say things that fall flat that I have all these like Simpsons quotes in my head, and so that's gonna be. I'm gonna class this show up a little bit in the next couple weeks.
Well, we wouldn't want to do that. Then I'd have to come dressed for it instead of just pajamas when I do it. So,
but I think you're right. I think that any of this it benefits the Vikings. I do think that. You know, the Vikings were, you know, strangely like one or two small things away from making the playoffs, the expanded playoffs last year. Somehow the Bears ended up in, they were 8-8. The Vikings were 7-9. I am a little terrified of the prospect of if Fields, you know, takes off as a rookie, And is mobile, which has always been kind of the Achilles heel of the Zimmer defense. They always seem to be a quarterback away the last couple seasons. So, I'm a little more strangely concerned about them than the Packers. But we actually got an inside scoop today from Dustin Baker, our MVP, who got the entire season leaked out to him, not just the first week. And so he basically said with 98% certainty, a source has divulged the season to him. Which, can I just say, I love Dustin, but he's also been doing this for less than a year, and he gets more scoops. And man, it's like, I'm doing something backwards. I'm just.
No, you hired him, so
There
it's
you go. Silver
fine.
lining. I'm just teasing. But there's always truth in jest, right?
Yes,
So
with that.
here's the schedule. Opening
Is
the.
this what is his source? He
Well,
just says source.
it's
I'm looking at it, and
a legit source.
is it?
Yeah, it's one of those I want to remain anonymous, but there's this guy that drives around my neighborhood, and he has like a cargo van, that has no windows, and he just was like, "Hey, what's up? I want to hear about the Vikings." So I just got in there. I don't remember much after that, but I came out with a schedule and a bad taste in my mouth.
Okay.
Ba-dooch.
I mean, the schedule that he's got's got some of the stuff we've heard. Got Green Bay on Sunday night
Yeah, I mean,
football.
didn't they already kind of, don't they like semi, we already knew the opponents, just not the dates?
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
Knew the opponents, and we knew where, who was coming here and who the Vikings going on the road. And we knew they released the first game against Cincinnati Bengals in Cincinnati. We know that. But they also heard that there was they said Sunday Night Football on January 2nd, Vikings at Packers. So, nice little snowball for the Vikes, if that's the case.
Yeah, and I always feel like the Vikings, regardless of what, they always say if, you have a bad year that you get an easier schedule, so on and so forth. I just always feel like that never happens. And this is kind of a rough schedule.
It is.
The
It is.
Bengals, the Cardinals, the Seahawks again, the Browns, those are all teams either on the up and up or that are good.
But that, that division, the Bengals, the Browns, and the
Yeah,
Steelers, that's
Steelers.
the division that the whole NFC North plays. So you're not going to get anything bad. You're
Yep.
not going to get a break from that.
Yep.
What really makes a difference is those opponents on the other divisions that we have to play, like Dallas, who probably finished similar to the Vikings did. Like Vikings finished third, right? And San Francisco.
Every nationally televised game, every night game, Thursday night, Monday night, Sunday night, are on the road. All four of them.
Nice. Well, that's what happens when you finish 8-8 or 7-9.
Yeah, look at that though. Like the Panthers is, the Lions are going to be bad. The Panthers, yeah. Cowboys, like you said, the Ravens on the road, the Chargers on the road. Wait a minute.
What?
Okay, I get it. The way he did it, I was confused. I was like, these are all on the road. Yeah, Chargers. Actually, Sunday Night Football, the Cowboys is at home. I was wrong
Yes, it
about that.
is.
Actually, three of the
And so
four are
Pittsburgh.
at home. Wait a minute. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, two. It's 2-2. Okay.
They're at the Packers and at the Bears Monday and Sunday Night Football. They're at
Yep.
home against the
Cowboys and the
Cowboys,
Steelers,
which
which
is
is
on
nice.
Halloween night.
Woo-wee! Didn't we have that last year?
I don't think so. I'm
Or was
not
it
sure.
Christmas? I think it was Christmas. The Saints
It's,
game. Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, these are a lot of really interesting games. Like, we're really gonna know where the Vikings stand midway through this season. You know what I mean? And
Oh, the first quarter of the season is tough. Bengals, Cardinals, Seahawks, Browns. That's right out of the gate. Those are four tough games. There's no question about it.
they can't do the typical, and I'm including Cousins mainly, this pre-bye doldrums, and then they come out of the bye and he's perfect. It needs to be they need to be consistent. And I don't know where you stand because we haven't really talked about this much, but there is a lot of more of this out there on other sites and stuff than I actually thought there'd be. But there's kind of a general consensus that this is the make or break year for Zimmer. Maybe Spielman, maybe not. But
You know, yeah, I see a lot about that. I see that, and I think, you know, my hat's off to them the way they navigated through the salary cap and, you know, made some subtractions and made some additions.
I agree with you.
Free agency. So I think it they've got that message as well. I don't know if they got it from Ziggy and Mark Wilf, but I think they realize, you know, they just got re-upped, I think, before last season. So mm-hmm. they have maybe a 3 years contract or whatever, but so they probably need to get back into the playoffs and maybe win a game or two to not to save their jobs, but to, you know, buy them that last year and say, okay, you guys are moving in the right direction again. We'll keep rolling with you.
Because they fired Brad Childress like a year and a half after his extension.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that the team really expects. Like, I think there were valid reasons last season to say, let's write this one off. You know, COVID, tons of injuries on the defense.
Yep.
You know, I think this season, you know, one of the biggest contingencies is that still people aren't really talking about. We haven't had a lot of updates about is Danielle Hunter.
Danielle Hunter, I was just going to ask you.
Yeah, you know, like we started working with Vikes Central, this really large Vikings sort of news Twitter account. Brett Peterson is the author, and he's been writing a lot of great stuff for the sites, and he wrote about Danielle Hunter this week, and I just was thinking, you know, if he comes back and he's healthy and he's Danielle Hunter again, like, yikes.
Yeah.
You know, that line is so
–
I'm so excited about the interior of the defensive line, just having those big guys clogging things up, and, you know, having Kendricks and Barr back, and obviously
– weren't they like 26th against the rush?
Mm-hmm. They didn't even really have a real nose tackle.
Yeah.
You know, they had a three-tech playing nose tackle. So that – I mean, that alone, the fact that they went 7-9 considering, and then you have – maybe a mediocre offensive line, even and Justin Jefferson acclimating to the league more physically, because he's obviously like a 12-year Keyshawn Johnson veteran mentally. You know, it's there's just some exciting stuff going on. I told you last week I'm on the hope train.
I'm not gonna quash it here, but I just gotta say the things you all listed. There are a bunch of ifs in there. That offensive line's got to gel quickly. That Danielle Hunter's got to be healthy and want to stick his neck in there, literally. And, you know, everything's got to coalesce a little bit. And so there are a few ifs, but if they all work in the Vikings' favor and Kirk Cousins takes it up even another level, if he can, that could be a great season.
What did you say earlier that was very true? When I say I kid because I love, it's more of a manipulation and an out. All those ifs that I put out there are my way of being able to say down the road that I wasn't wrong.
There you go.
See, transparency, right?
That's right.
Accountability. I'm all about it. Well, I brood from my empty, empty, empty penthouse. That's a good way. That's a good place to put a
pin in
it.
I'll bring them back next week, Joe.
That's how you get them. I do want to we got finally some of the final rough draft design elements of the Oofta Sports app that I've hinted towards a little bit that is going to be coming hopefully by the beginning of July. And it was just, you know, Joe, you would know this better than basically anybody. That app and this business plan has been not only years in the making, but it was tenuous at points whether or not this was ever going to happen financially. You know, sometimes it seems like a pipe dream. You know, there's a lot of moving parts to it, which I'll explain down the road. And so seeing that it's actually being built was just this huge emotional thing for me, and I'm just incredibly, incredibly humbled by it. I'm so excited, and we wouldn't be able to even do it without the support of people who listen to our shows, the show like this, who read our stuff, and then internally, without the loyalty and friendship and guidance as my mentor through all this craziness from you. And so I posted some of those screens on our social media, and I'll include them in the article about this show on Vikings Territory and Purple PTSD. But it's going to really – all the sites that I ran out of breath explaining at the jump of the show are all going to be centralized there, plus a bunch of other Vikings and Minnesota sports blogs, over 50 podcasts that are all Minnesota sports podcasts or video shows, and a ton of community features. We want to be like the center of, you know, that zeitgeist I keep referencing. So stay tuned for that. But I, again,
Joe, you earned
I'm so
it.
Excited.
You earned it. So, I mean, as much as it's a dream coming to fruition, it's yours. You worked your tail off for it. So be proud, be happy, enjoy it. Oh, I only have one word to say about the whole thing. Oofta.
It's fun interviewing interns this week that aren't from here, and they have no idea what that means. And I always just say it's like the forget about it scene from Donnie Brasco, just the Scandinavian version. It means everything. We will be back next week and every week in perpetuity. But again, thanks to everyone in the KDLM audience that listen to the show, that come onto the website, comment on social media, all of it. You know, it means a lot to us, clearly. So thank you, and we shall be back again next week. But this has been the Vikings Territory Breakdown on KDLM Sports for the 12th of May, 2021. Skull.